cha also mahishitam, chiefs of the world. Uvacha said, Partha, O son of Pratha, Pashya, just behold, Etan, all of them, Samavetan, assembled, Kurun, the members of Kuru dynasty, Iti, thus. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhayachandananda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. We'll do the translation responsibly. In the presence of Bhishma, Drona, and all the other chieftains of the world, the Lord said, just behold, Partha, all the Kurus assembled here. Purport. As the super soul of all living entities, Lord Krishna could understand what was going on in the mind of Arjuna. The use of the word Shikesha in this connection indicates that he knew everything. The word Partha or son of Kunti or Pratha is also similarly significant in reference to Arjuna. As a friend, he wanted to inform Arjuna that because Arjuna was the son of Pratha, the sister of his own father, Vasudeva, he had agreed to be the charioteer of Arjuna. He had agreed to be the charioteer of Arjuna. Now, what did Krishna mean when he told to Arjuna, behold the Kurus? Did Arjuna want to stop fight there and not fight? Krishna never expected such things from the son of his aunt Pratha. The mind of Arjuna was thus predicted by the Lord in the friendly joking. Mukham karoti vachalam pingam dayate krimit kripapa tumaham mandi dikunam shri gurum dina tarana paramananda madhavam shri chaitanya mishra namo vishvaraya krishna krishnaya bhutleshim ki jayapta kaswami tam nirman chaitanya takvapa nikoranta namo nirmanta kathanchana smriti rasmin dushkaram sukaram bhavir smriti pritam syat shri chaitanya namamitam. In the presence of Bhishma, Drona, and all other chieftains of the world, the Lord said, just behold, Partha, all the Kurus assembled here. So the battlefield, the scene has been set already. Now the scene setting is over. The army of Pandavas and the army of Kauravas, they are facing each other. The shankas and the conch shells have been blown and the kettle drums have been sounded. And now it's time for the war to take place. But at the time when all the chieftains of the army are getting ready to fight, then Arjuna places a very strange request to his charioteer Krishna, which he did in the previous shloka. That he asked Krishna that, please take my chariot in between these two armies and place my chariot in between them so that I can see who is going to fight with whom. This is a very significant request, because this whole request is the seed of Bhagavad Gita. That from this request the entire Bhagavad Gita is going to come out. Because upon seeing who is going to fight with whom, Arjuna is going to get completely bewildered. It is explained by the Acharyas that for Arjuna, who is Gudakesha, Prabhupada explains in one of the lectures, that Arjuna, who is Gudakesha, one who has overcome material distress, for him to fall into this kind of situation is unusual. And he is also the associate of the Lord, because Krishna is Narayana and Arjuna is Nara. They are Naranarayana themselves. So for Arjuna to fall into delusion is something which is unusual. And also Arjuna has been waiting for this whole situation for about 14 years, because from the time they were banished out of the kingdom, Arjuna and Bhima were always constantly thinking of war. They're constantly thinking that we'll fight this war, we'll take our revenge, we'll take our kingdom back, we'll put our brother back on throne, we will redeem our honor. Because for Kshatriyas, this is a great thing. Honor is something which is very great for Kshatriyas. They are known for the chivalry. So they have been constantly thinking and they have been constantly planning. Arjuna went to Swargaloka, he attained divine weapons, he did a lot of tapasya. So there's so much of planning which was going on the background when they were in the forest just for this fighting. And everybody was waiting for this fight. And Arjuna was the chief fighter from their side, besides Bhima himself. So at this moment, that why Arjuna should get confused? This is a very significant situation for us to think about. And the Lord, being the super soul, he understands Arjuna's confusion, and he's pulling his leg. He's pulling the leg of his friend. And till now, whatever conversation which is going on between Krishna and Arjuna, they're all going on in friendly platform. Somewhere in second chapter, Arjuna will change the situation. He will say, Shishyasteham Sadhimam Tvam Prapannam, that I am becoming your disciple and I am a soul surrendered unto you. Now you tell me the correct way. But now that has not happened. Now Krishna and Arjuna are still friends. So Arjuna is dealing with Krishna in a friendly manner. And Krishna is also reciprocating in a friendly manner. And Arjuna said, Krishna, please take my chariot in between these two armies. I want to see who wants to fight with whom. And then Krishna says, okay, here is the army and here is the chariot in between these two armies. And see, your family is going to fight with your family. Samavetan Kurunyati. You're not going to fight with enemies. So whom you are going to fight with? You are going to fight with Bhishma and Drona. Bhishma, Drona, Pramuktaha. See, you are standing in front of Bhishma and Drona. The same great grandfather, whom you used to call as grandfather. Arjuna, when he was a small kid, he never understood the difference between grandfather and great grandfather. So actually Bhishma was great great grandfather. So he used to sit in his lap and then he would say, grandfather, in Bhishma's lap, and he would say, grandfather. And Bhishma would correct him, saying, no, I am your great great grandfather, not grandfather. So there are some very loving exchanges between Bhishma and Arjuna. And naturally Bhishma was also a very great archer and Arjuna also was a great archer. So they had a bonding with each other. And for Arjuna, he was the favorite disciple of Drona, and Arjuna also had lot of respect for Drona as a teacher, because Arjuna learned the military art from Drona and he was very attached to Drona, he was very attached to his teacher. So actually Krishna as the super soul, he is touching at the weakest link in Arjuna's heart, and then he is telling, see Bhishma Drona Pramuktaha, see these two people whom you love so much, these are the ones who are trying to kill you and you are going to kill them. This is what is going to happen. This is material world. This is material world. Material world means that those whom you love, they will come to kill you and you have to kill them also. It's a ruthless place. Because sometimes we don't understand what is happening in the material world. We think we love people and we think we hate people. We have this idea that I love this person and I hate this person. But we don't know in our previous lives whom we loved and whom we hated. We don't have any idea. We don't know. Maybe the same person whom we love with our life and we want to lay down our life for, in the previous birth, he took our life. He killed us. We don't know. We don't know. But the Lord knows as super soul. He says, Upadrishta Anumantacha Bharta Bhokta Maheshwaraha Paramatma Pramatmedi Chapikto Dehevsmin Purusha Paraha. Krishna will say later that what he does as Paramatma, he does a few things. He says he does I supervise you. Upadrishta. Upa means sitting near. Drishta means see. So he is always sitting near us and he is always seeing us, what we are doing. So there is no question of privacy. Nowadays there is big talk of privacy. And there is privacy rule, privacy regulations and that and this and so much talk about privacy. You get into any website, then they will say privacy. How we are maintaining your privacy. No privacy. Why there is no privacy? Because the Lord is always sitting near us and he is looking at us. He is watching each and every activity we do. So this whole concept of privacy is very atheistic. They make us think that there is nobody watching us. Oh, I am private. I have my private space. Nobody is watching me. No. The Lord is watching us. Always. Always he is sitting with us. 24/7. Even when we are sleeping, he is watching us. When we are sleeping, we are not even watching ourselves. We don't know what is happening when we are sleeping. Sometimes some snake might come near us, or some insect might come near us, or somebody might come to kill us. We don't know. Simply we are sleeping. As good as dead. So when the alarm rings, then we wake up. But till the time, we don't know what is happening. But the Lord knows. He is watching. He doesn't sleep. He is sitting and watching us. So there is no question of us thinking that there is nobody watching me. When we become conscious of this, then we can become Krishna conscious. So first idea is to become conscious that somebody is always watching me. I am under constant supervision. So every activity I do, at every time, every moment, every second, I am accountable for to that person. This is a very important point. Accountability. Now this is also another big topic, that how to establish accountability. These people are talking so much that yes, corporations should be accountable, individuals should be accountable, management should be accountable. Yes, whether we like or not, we are accountable. And the Lord sitting as Paramatma is keeping our account. We are accountable. There is no question of escaping from Him. To think that I am not accountable is an atheistic mentality. Because only atheists think that I am not accountable. Ishwaroham aham bohi siddhoham balavan suki. This is how atheist thinks. That I am the controller. Ishwaroham, I am the controller. Aham bohi, I am the enjoyer. Siddhoham, I am very successful. I am very successful. I have done so many things. I have built so many buildings. I have amassed so much of wealth. I have amassed so much of power. I have such a position. I have such a clout. Siddhoham. And what kind of person I am? I am Balavan. I can move things. I can make things happen. I can make or break people. I can make people or I can break people. Balavan. I am so powerful. Suki. I am very happy. I have my everything. I have my own country. I have my own kingdom. In that kingdom I am the king. And when I snap my finger, then people come and stand in front of me. And when I give order, everything is executed. I am so happy. Ishwaroham aham bohi siddhoham balavan suki. This is how demoniac people think. So they think that I am not accountable to anyone. I am not accountable. But the Lord is sitting here. Upadrishta. See, everything. Anumantacha. And without his permission, nothing can move. Nothing can move. Not even a blade of grass can move without his permission. For example, I have this hand. And I have a habit of always moving this hand when I talk. And I am thinking this is my hand. And whenever I want, I can move. I can even move it involuntarily. I don't have to think that when I am talking, I have to keep my hand like this. I have to keep my hand like this. I should move like this. I don't have to think. It just happens. I am so powerful, you know. My hand just moves according to my will. No. It doesn't move according to my will. It moves according to the Lord's will. Because the Lord has given permission for this hand to move, it is moving. The moment Lord withdraws the permission to move this hand, it will not move. Generally, it is called a stroke. People get stroke. What is the stroke? The stroke of the Lord. Then we can't move. The hand will not remain as it is. No. Take it up. No. Take it up. No. Take it up. No. Just there. Stationary. Can't do anything. We are thinking that I am breathing. We're thinking I am breathing. We don't even think that we are breathing. Unless we do some pranayama or some bastakya or some exercise. We don't think that we are breathing. We are simply breathing. We think it's very easy. Oh, I can breathe easily. We even have a phrase in English, breathe easy. Say breathe easy. No, it's not so easy to breathe. Because one day Lord will stop the breathing. He stop, okay, enough breathing, no more. Stop. So when you stop the breathing, then from verticality we will be reduced to horizontality. So from 2 legs, we will upgrade to 8 legs. Because 4 people will carry us. So this is what will happen. So Anumantacha, the Lord, He has to give permission for everything. This is nicely explained in the beginning of the 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita as Adibhuta, Adi, Deva and Adiyajna. Adibhuta means the material manifestation which we are able to see. Adideva means the different demigods which control the senses. Because the senses are controlled by the different devatas who are the presiding deities of the senses. So senses are not independent. We think that the senses are independent. I have my eyes, I can see. No, it's not that easy. Unless Surya Dev gives permission and light, we cannot see. Because if there is no light, even in the darkness, if I keep my eyes wide open, I cannot see. I cannot see even the front of my hand or back of my hand. Forget seeing so many other things. In Mayapur soon it will be winter. And even when there is light, we cannot see. Because in winter, there will be such a huge thick fog that 1 feet, 2 feet away, we cannot see what is there. Because there is so much of fog. There is so much of fog. We cannot see. There is light. We are keeping our eyes open. But still in fog, we cannot see. So we are completely bound. We are completely bound by all respects by the will of the Lord. So it is utter foolishness for the jiva to think that he can independently do what he can do. That is what Krishna is joking with Arjuna. He is telling Arjuna, you are independently thinking that your family is going to fight with your family and you are going to stop this fight and run away. No, this is not going to happen. You might run away at this point of time, but your own nature as Kshatriya, it will bring you back to this battle and you will end up fighting because of Maya. So Jiva has got two choices. Only two choices. Nothing more. Doesn't have multiple choices. Only two choices Jiva has got. Jiva can serve the instruction of Krishna or Jiva can serve the instruction of Maya. Only two choices. So we can choose what we want to do. We are very free to choose what we want to do. We can choose to serve Krishna or we can choose to serve Maya. This is the minute independence. The moment we make a choice, then whatever happens, we do have no independence. Neither in the service of Krishna nor in the service of Maya. No independence. We become paradhina. That's why Jiva is called as paratantra. Paratantra means it has no independence. It is always dependent on Krishna. Either Krishna's internal energy or Krishna's external energy. Either it is driven by Maya or it is driven by Krishna's internal energy, which is bhakti and surrender to Radharani. So there is not much choice we have in our activity. So an intelligent person has to consider this. If an intelligent person does not consider this, then he is not considered intelligent. Where there is no meaning for intelligence. This is intelligence. Krishna says, Evam buddhe param buddhva samstabhyatmanam atmana jahishatrum mahabaho kamarupam durasadam. In the third chapter, in the end, Krishna says, Evam buddhe param buddhva. Understand that this mind has to be controlled by deliberate spiritual intelligence, which is Krishna consciousness. Samstabhyatmanam atmana, please control yourself. Jahishatrum mahabaho, please win over this enemy. So the real battle is not to fight with Bhishma and Drona. The real battle is to fight with ourselves. The six enemies which we have within our heart, which is in the form of lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, kama, krodha, moha, lobha, mada and matsarya and envy. So the six different enemies who are arrayed against us. The real battle is to fight against them. That's Kurukshetra. To fight against these six enemies. Driven, sitting in the chariot which is driven by the Lord as Paramatma in our heart. That's the real battle. And that battle is for every one of us. Like Arjuna is going to face this confusion. Arjuna is going to face this battle. Very soon. Very soon he is going to be under Moha. Very soon he is going to be under Matsarya. All these things are going to overcome him. Illusion is going to overcome him. He is going to say, Karpanya doshopahata swabhavaha. That I am become very weak. My whole body is trembling. Vepatuscha sharireme romaharshasya jayate. That my whole body is trembling. I become so weak because I am overcome by illusion. So this is what material world is all about. The material world is all about understanding what is our weakness. And that weakness Krishna brings out in this verse to Arjuna. Our weakness is our misidentification with the material world. Our weakness is our misidentification with the material body. Our weakness is the misidentification with the extensions of the material body. Dehapatya kalatradishav atma sainyeshav asatsabopi tesham pramattho nidhanam pashyan apina pashyati. This is what Sukadeva Goswami tells in the beginning of second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, Dehapatya kalatra adishu. Your son, kalatra, wife, adishu, so many other things. My property, my real estate, my car, my land, my cows, so many things. Dehapatya kalatra adishu. And what is the idea of attachment with all these things? Atma sainyeshu. Atma sainyeshu means, this is my own army. Army for what? Army for overcoming death. That at the time of death, I will use this army to overcome death. Dehapatya kalatradisho atma sainyesho. But what is the nature of this army? Asat savapi. Which means that this army itself will die. Where is the question of overcoming death with this army? Asat savapi. But a person thinks that I can do this. Everybody of us think, every one of us think, no, we can do this, we will do this. I will somehow be happy, be protected with what I have, with the relationships I have, with the material wealth I have, with the material attachments I have. If I cannot remain protected with this man, I will change the man and I will remain protected. Or if I cannot be happy with this woman, I will change the woman and I will remain protected. So we have such crazy ideas which come into our crazy mind, which keeps on telling us that now you can be happy. All these days you suffered, that's okay. Now you do this, you can be happy. That's okay. All these days you suffered, it's okay. It's okay. But now you do this, you can be happy. Prabhupada gives a nice example. He says that there's a donkey. A donkey has to carry load. So the washerman, what he does, he puts a stick in front of the donkey and he hangs a carrot in the end of the stick. So the donkey sees the carrot hanging in front of him. And he thinks, if I take one step more, I will reach the carrot. So he takes one step. But what happens? The carrot also moves. So like this, thinking of, I will get the carrot in the next step, I will get the carrot in the next step, I will get the carrot in the next step, the donkey comes home. And what the washerman does? He takes out the stick, takes the carrot to his house, and then he makes some carrot sabji and eats. What happened to the donkey? Finished, no carrot. Next day morning, same story. One more stick, one more carrot. So every day Maya is showing us carrot, 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 carrot. And we are also thinking that I will eat this carrot one day. It's never happening. Never happened. And never happened also. That's why Sukadeva Goswami is saying, Tesham Pramatto Nidhanam. That these people are mad. Nidhanam means mad. Pramattaha. Pramattaha means mad. Tesham Pramatto Nidhanam. Mad people. Because they are seeing practically nobody is happy with this setup of having a material attachment and a material situation. Nobody is happy. Nobody is happy. Kesham Pramatto Nidhanam. Pashyan Apina Pashyati. He keeps on seeing every day, he keeps seeing that the dog is not happy. Every day the dog has to run every day from morning to evening searching for a morsel of food. And then he sees some food, then he runs to the place, master, he has to wag his tail, tick, 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 tick. And the fellow wants to give, he will give, otherwise he will shoo the dog away. And he has to find some other person to wag his tail. Same way, human beings, what we are doing, like dog, carrying a suitcase, running from one place to another place, trying to please one master. He throws us out, run to another place. He throws another, run to another place. So, same. So, with Varahostra Karai, Samskrita Purusha Pashu, Bhagavatam says, living like four animals, dogs, hogs, camels and asses. The whole material life is this only. Samskrita Purusha Pashu. So, a person who does not understand that he is accountable to Paramatma and Paramatma is sitting in his heart and watching everything, each and every activity of his lifetime, he just lives the life of these four animals. Running like a dog everywhere, trying to find shelter, trying to find a master who can give little more food every day. Otherwise, running like a hog and eating what one is not supposed to eat and simply having sex life. Or running like a camel, draining the bodily strength and the spiritual strength in material engagements and sex life. Or like an ass, as a donkey, just taking the load of this material world. Kutumpa bharenava. The whole load of this material world. I have earned for seven generations. I am so rich that seven generations can sit and eat with what I have learned. So you became donkey for seven generations. All the seven generations load you took on you. And we think that this is success. Oh, he's a very successful man. Next generation will come, they will squander all the money. They will become pauper. That's a different story. But the person is so proud. I have earned for seven generations. So this kind of animalistic mentality comes in when we don't recognize the supervision and the hand of the super soul in our body, in everyday activities. That is why Krishna is warning Arjuna that don't fall into this trap. I know what is in your mind. See, these are the people whom you are going to fight with. Bhishma, Drona, Pramuktaha. And if you don't kill them, they will kill you. This is material world. This is material world. That if you don't kill them, they will kill you. So when this kind of situation is there, when this kind of situation is, it's not something which is there happening in the books for Arjuna. And we cannot say that, oh, this is something which is happening here in Bhagavad Gita. It makes a good reading, but it is not relevant to me. Every day the Lord makes us face our weakness. Every day the Lord makes us face our weakness. Just like he made Arjuna to face his weakness. Every day we hear this sentence from the Lord. What is that? Samavetan Kurunyiti. That see, this is your weakness standing in front of you and you need to fight this weakness. Every day this happens. Day in and day out. In every walk of life, the Lord shows us that this is your weakness. Till we overcome all our weakness, till we become fixed in our devotional service, till we are no longer disturbed by the constant flow of desires. Apuryamanam achala pratishtham samudram mapa pravishyanti advat tadvat kamayam pravishyanti sarve shashanti mapnoti nakama kami. Krishna says, Apuryamanam achala pratishtham samudram apa pravishyanti advat. Just like so many rivers are flowing into the ocean. So many rivers are flowing into the ocean. But the ocean is not disturbed. It simply remains static. Like that, there are so many desires which are thrown by the mind. Mind is a desire-making machine. This is what mind is. Mind is nothing but a desire-making machine. And it is not my desire-making machine. It is its own desire-making machine. I have no connection with this mind which is sitting somewhere on my head. I don't know where it is, but 24 hours it is throwing desires at me. It's a desire factory. When I was a few years back, I read one book. It was called as Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. So like that, this is me and my desire factory producing so many desires and throwing in front of me and telling me that look at this, look at this, look at this. Run behind this, you can be happy. Run behind this, you can be happy. Run behind this, you can be happy. He wants to give me so, he wants to show me so many things. Just like, you know, sometimes for the kid when we show lollipop, that, you know, take this, take this. Be happy, smile, smile. And a kid also sees the lollipop, he smiles, no. Because this kid is ignorant. He thinks that by taking this sweet, I can be happy. Like that, the mind is throwing so many desires at us. And then the mind wants us to become kamakami. Kamakami means one who wants to satisfy each and every desire which the mind wants to satisfy. This whole material desire business is between the mind and senses. We have nothing to do with this. We have no connection with this. This is not our desire. This is not our desire. This is mind's desire. Mind likes it. Mind hates it. I don't like it. I don't hate it. I have nothing to do with this mind because I am not this body. Very, very simple, straightforward business. That's what Krishna wants to establish to Arjuna in the beginning. He says, Dehinosmi nitadehe kaumaram yapanam jara tatat dehantra prapti dhiras tatranu buhyati. A person who is sober, he is not bewildered by these external changes and these external things which mind is throwing at us. When a man is young and when a woman is young, then they both see, they become so much attracted to each other. Oh, you are my life, you are this, you are that, I cannot live without you. We will live together for so many, we will live happily ever after. This is the ending tagline. We'll live happily ever after. No, we don't live happily ever after. That's a different story. Anyway, so the point is that we have so many desires. So each and every desire simply reflects this scene. We can imagine this scene. That Krishna is sitting in the chariot and Arjuna is there and Krishna is showing Arjuna that see, this is Bhishma, this is Drona and this is your family and this is your weakness. You need to fight this weakness, Arjuna. And every day as we open our mind in the morning and we see so many things, because all the things which we see, which we hear, which we smell, which we touch, there could be two aspects of it. There's a spiritual aspect and the material aspect. The spiritual aspect is that we connect every sense object with Krishna, with the service of Krishna, for the enjoyment of Krishna. Every sense object, we connect it for the service of Krishna, for the enjoyment of Krishna. Then we are very safe. But the other aspect is Every sense object which comes in front of us, we can connect it to our own enjoyment. Then we are in great danger. Then we are in the same scene where Krishna is showing Arjuna samavetan kurunyiti. Same scene. When we see that, okay, this is the sense object, my senses engage the sense object, dhyayato vishayan pumsaha, sankasteshu vajayate, sangat sanjayate kamaha, kamat krodho vijayate. So when there is connection between the sense and sense object, immediately there is an attachment there. Sankasteshu vajayate. Immediately there is an attachment there. And that attachment, what it causes? It causes desire. The desire to enjoy. Sangat sanjayate kamaha. And the moment the desire to enjoy is there, immediately there should be frustration. There's two types of frustration. Explained Vadishthana Saraswati Thakur. That there are two types of frustration. One is called avirodha priti and the second is called virodha yukta krodha. These are two types of frustration which is explained by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in Nectar of Instruction, his Anuvritti commentary, which is translated by Srila Prabhupada in his own commentary. So we have unrestricted attachment. And that unrestricted attachment, we want to enjoy everything in an unrestricted manner. But we ourselves are restricted because we are restricted within this material body. And this material body has got so many restrictions. So one rasagulla is very nice. But 100 rasagullas we cannot handle. We will become sick. Maybe we will die also. If somebody wants us to eat 100 rasagulla, maybe we will die. So there was some time before, there was some news item which was going around saying that somebody was drinking so many bottles of carbonated drinks and then he died. So there's millions of dollars which is spent on advertising about carbonated drinks, that how people should drink them, you know, these fizzy drinks which call all this Pepsi, Coke, soda and all these things. And you know, so much billions of dollars spent on advertising that, oh, take it and drink it. But if you drink a few bottles, maybe 10, 15, one time, finished, die. No more happiness. Finished. So, we are limited. But we want unlimited enjoyment. But material sphere by nature is limited. And we cannot have unlimited enjoyment. It's not possible. It's simply not possible to have unlimited enjoyment. But we want unlimited enjoyment. So, it's frustrating. It's frustrating. And even if we get unlimited enjoyment, it is frustrating. If we don't get enjoyment, it is frustrating. And even if we get limited enjoyment continuously, it is frustrating. So in every way, simply the result is that material world is frustrating. There is no other result for the material world. Every day, if you get the same rasagulla, one rasagulla daily, after 10 days, 15 days, you're frustrated. You're thinking, why not I have gulab jamun? Why only rasagulla daily? Finished. So, everything is frustrating. Material world means frustration. Nothing more. There's nothing. But the same material world can become full of happiness. It can become full of happiness. Vishwam purna shukayate. Which means that this material world is full of happiness. How it can become full of happiness? When all these items of sense enjoyment can be utilized in the Lord's service. Atmendriya priti vancha tare balikama, krishnendriya priti iccha dhare premanama. This is what is told in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That when somebody wants this material world for atmendriya priti, that one's own sense enjoyment, that's called as kama, and that produces frustration, anger, krodha, virodha yukta krodha, because one becomes very angry at everything. One becomes very angry with the material world, and then he says, neti, 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 not this, not this, not this, I don't want this, I don't want this, I don't want this, I want to become God. All this is false, become mayavadi by frustration, and then say, I want to become God. Nothing, all this material world is false, it's finished. Nothing. All is maya. Reject everything. No. So, but understanding is that everything in this material world is nothing but Krishna's energy. So if all these things can be simply utilized in Krishna's energy, the agency of Maya, which is Tapakari, which is producing these threefold miseries, it becomes the actual Prema Shakti, that the one which produces Prema, the love of Godhead. That's the key understanding of Krishna consciousness, that not to reject anything, because everything is Krishna's energy. So to intelligently utilize everything in Krishna's service, that's what ultimately Krishna will tell Arjuna. Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarvapapebhyo mokshayishyami masuchah. He will say that leave all sorts of material dharma and simply surrender unto me, which is the spiritual dharma of the soul. That's the constitutional position of the soul, to surrender to the Lord. So when one comes to that understanding of that constitutional position and surrenders to Krishna, then everything in this material world becomes completely blissful. Vishwam purna sukhayate. But right now, the situation is not like that. Right now, we have to face our weaknesses. Samavetan kurunyiti. That's what Krishna is telling. That go through the process. So Bhagavad Gita is a journey, will take us through the process of Krishna consciousness, where Arjuna will ask so many questions, and sometimes Krishna will on his own clarify to Arjuna ultimately how to get satisfied, how to get happy. Even though at this point of time, in this verse, this is the start of confusion. Hare Krishna. Questions, comments? Okay, let's close. Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanande.